Welcome inside a daily editorial. I promise you during the first daily editorial today that we were doing two because we wanted to talk about a number of things. We wanted to talk about the situation with China and ask the question, are the Democrats going to use this to try and belittle, for lack of better terms, the Republicans? I'm not going to use the word Democrat and Republican anymore, you guys, by the way. From now on, it's the little progressives and the conservatives. Let's start out with that, actually, Jimmy. You know, the situation with Taiwan is certainly a very tenuous situation. Eventually, it's going to blow up. The question I have right now is that going to happen today? But now the situation with the orbiting weapons is also starting to blow up. Are the Democrats going to use this against the conservative Americans? I don't know. What do you think?
I think that history has shown that when governments are under pressure because of failed policies domestically, that they usually reach out to foreign issues and try to raise support. Right. And I'm very afraid that the Biden administration is in such bad shape right now that they may allow things to happen that might create a circumstance where they can use China as a spring block for gaining more national support for their agendas.
What do you think is going to happen?
Well, there's no question the Chinese have been pushing the limits over Taiwan. They've made public statements both at the government level, and the military level, but also in their propaganda, in their press, that they will unify Taiwan and that Taiwan is a breakaway republic that they need to get back. So in spite of the status quo that's been gone on basically since, you know, the late 40s, the Chinese look at this as not only competition, but a threat to their fundamental method of governance. When you have a democracy in Taiwan and you have an authoritarian dictatorship that has total control in mainland China from the same people that speak roughly the same language, that have basic same philosophies, that is a threat to the Chinese communist regime. That's what you see happening in Hong Kong, where the Chinese have cracked down on the democracy and on the self-governance that was allowed in Hong Kong after the British gave up control in 1997. You've seen a continuing erosion of those basic principles. And the reason why is because the Chinese government is scared to death that their own people will rise up eventually, so they have to have control. And so Taiwan is a big threat to them, both in the ideological way, but also in an economic way and in a military way, because it has a very important relationship with the United States for arms, and it's a very large island that can be used for operations against mainland China. So there's no question that they would like to put pressure and bring it back. They have been rattling sabers. The Biden administration has come out and made a couple of statements saying, hey, this can't go on. But really, there's very little credibility after Afghanistan and very little credibility after these latest European talks for the Biden administration anywhere on the planet. So I think the Chinese will attempt to take advantage of it. They will push the limits. And I think the Biden administration has been so incompetent, or they're either been incompetent on foreign policy, or they're actively pursuing agendas that undermine the safety and security of the United States. Either way, I think we're in for a potential problem soon.
Yeah, very possibly, but I think that's a problem that will be handled very effectively. I want to make a comment before we start talking about Trump, by the way, about the Democratic National Committee Chairman, Harrison, who told MSNBC's Nicole Wallace that the only reason that Republican Glenn Youngkin won the Virginia governor race is because of racial hatred. I suppose he's got a point there. I wonder how that, however, pertains to Winsome Sears, who's the daughter of immigrants and the first black woman to be elected to statewide office in the Commonwealth history as their new lieutenant governor. Also, what about Jason Mayores? He's the son of a Cuban immigrant as our next attorney general. Boy, no wonder Harrison.
Yeah, it's a total lie.
Jamie Harrison,
MSNBC. What's that?
I said, no wonder Clavel Clavel just came out and said the Democrats, I'm not going to call them Democrats anymore. Clavel just came out and said that the progressives were just stupid, and that's the reason they won. They lost as resoundingly as they did. I got a lot of time for Clavel. He's a pretty smart guy. I wish we had him on our side.
Yeah, Carville's, he's hilarious too, to listen to. But Jamie Harrison, MSNBC, most of the pundits in CNN and the mainstream media, they don't get it. They don't get that most Americans, black, white, brown, Hispanic, are tired of being told that America is a racist country. Virginia showed
right.
that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I'll tell you something else, that a complete lie. If Jamie Harrison says that racial problems in South Carolina, that's a lie. My wife is from South Carolina. We've lived there multiple times. And as I just told you, we just bought a house in South Carolina. Going there to visit, there's a very large black population. And you know what? People in South Carolina get along. They get along, black and white. And in spite of being run by Republicans, and it's not that there's always people that complain about being oppressed. But in South Carolina, when Nikki Haley was governor, when that young man went into the oldest black church in America and shot 11 people, I believe killed 11 people.
Yep.
There was riots everywhere in this country over Freddie Gray, over George Floyd, everything else. South Carolina did not accept that because the black community says, we don't want that. They wouldn't allow Al Sharpton down there. They wouldn't allow all the race-baiting pigs to integrate and to reach down and try and tear that state apart, because they actually live together and work together, because people look at each other as neighbors, as equals, not by the color of their skin. And I tell you, it is so repulsive to listen to these political people spin these things into racist issues when people, I mean, Americans are tired of being told that. White, black, Hispanic, we are tired of being told that, except for a very small amount that want to use this for political advantage. And Virginia, New Jersey, all school boards across this country have all said, you know what, this is enough. We're tired of it. And let's just hope it keeps going, because we got to figure out what the Democrats, what the progressives are going to do next to try to undermine stability in this nation, because they are reaching hard for it.
I agree. I mean, I've lost a friendship, at least in my mind. I have no respect for an individual who said that my daughter's family was actually a family of color because she happens to be Korean. Well, a very old friendship just went down the tube because of that. Anyway, having said that, let's get back to Trump. Now, the one comment about Trump that CFS brought up today is that he thinks that Trump's main weakness is going to be his age during the election. He's 71 now. What do you think about that, Jimmy?
So I think he's 70, isn't he? He's older than that, right? Isn't he 74, 75?
He will be, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think age is an issue with Donald Trump. I think he is a incredibly energetic man, according to everybody that talks about his work ethic. Apparently, he's like unstoppable. How long that'll last, I don't know, but he's incredibly competent now. He's being very wise how he's handling this position he's in, which is incredibly influential with conservatives, with America First conservatives, not so much with the institutional Republicans who would like to, you know, keep him away from destroying their, you know, their little gravy train that they've got in D.C. But I do think that he has the energy for it, and he can only serve for four more years. So that's 7 years from now. He would be, he'd be still younger than Joe Biden if Joe Biden makes it all the way through. But he's definitely a lot clearer in his head, and he's a lot more energetic than most people, actually, most politicians out there.
Well, you know, the one thing you got to say about Trump is I was having a conversation with a guy by the name of Bill Savage, who I got a lot of time for. We were chatting before we worked out down at the gym, and I was telling him that I really had some concerns about Trump. And Savage looked me straight in the eye, and he said, why? Because he accomplished everything that he said prior to the election that he was going to accomplish. And that kind of left me dumbfounded, I have to tell you, because, you know, my concern about Trump, I did say Trump, didn't I?
Yes.
My concern about Trump, basically, is that he is not a conciliator. I want you to address that point.
So, yeah, we talked about it earlier. And I think the problem with Republicans is they think the playing field is even and that it's just a matter of negotiation and you can talk your way through and you can share in the power in D.C. I think that's the problem. And the Republicans have lost continually. They've lost ground because they do not understand the opposition that they're struggling against. The opposition they're struggling against will do anything they can for victory. They will lie, cheat, and steal. There is no integrity there. Donald Trump, he understood that to a certain extent. He didn't know how deep it was, in my view, but he understood definitely that there was a different game going on that many mainstream Republicans thought that they could continue on. They were good losers. Trump saying, no way, we can't do that. He's a fighter. He pushes back. And the reason why you need somebody like that is because the opposition doesn't take any, has no mercy for you. They take deeper and bigger advantage every time. So a lot of people did not like Trump's demeanor. They didn't like his tweets. But when you talk about policies, he was doing things to benefit America. And there's no question about that. But he was alienated. He was attacked. And I think the biggest issue is he was made, and it wouldn't have mattered. And we talk about this offline as well. It would not have mattered if it was Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, any one of those candidates that were in the 17, you know, running for the primary. It wouldn't have mattered who they were. The Clinton administration would have smeared them in some method, if not the Russian collusion, some other method, and the mainstream media would have supported that and turned them into evil. And the example is right now with Glenn Youngkin in Virginia. The media and the Democrats did not think he could win. They didn't do all the attacks that they normally would. He stayed a very positive campaign. He's a family man. He's just all around a pretty good guy, it appears. They are smearing him, calling him a racist. They are doing the same thing to a good guy that they would for Trump. I hope that Youngkin makes it. He needs people like Trump to fight for him, and he needs people that support Trump that are tired of this to stand up. And that's where I see Trump's demeanor was essential for pushing back against the deep state and against the people in Washington that really don't look out for regular Americans' interests. They look out for their own interests or the financial interests of big corporations that sponsor them.
Interesting situation. I still wonder if he's going to run, but I liked your idea of the ticket with Trump as the president and the man from Florida, Santoros, as the vice president. That's something I would support in a big time, because then, in my opinion, all of my perhaps weak excuses, which some people think they're weak, would be absolutely negated.
Well, I think Ron DeSantis, I understand he's going to run for governor again, but that gives him 2 years before the election. I think sometime, you know, they announce a vice presidential candidate usually about, you know, 4 or 5 months before the election. I think he could be governor of Florida for a year and a half, take on the role of vice president. I think Donald Trump could go in and clean house, be hated. But Ron DeSantis could be the guy that comes in, stabilizes the situation, brings conservative values back to America, helps stabilize the economy, and a long-term strategy to bring America back to Americans, to the working class Americans. I think would be a great strategy.
Well, I agree 1,000%, no question about that. You guys, what do you think? We had some great comments already on this subject from both Out of the Box and from CFS. Let's get some more comments this time. I want to learn more from you guys. Jimmy, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, Al.